You know, I haven't said this in a long time. I just woke up, so I'm like stumbling with my words. But, you know, it's very clear in the Bible that God says he's not really concerned. He wasn't really concerned about sacrifices and baptism and circumcision. It was all about your heart, the circumcision of your heart, right? And so, when God is speaking, he's really clear. That it's not about rituals, it's not about traditions, it's not about outward stuff. It's an inner renewal. It's a heart towards God. Those things were necessary to point to Christ and what he did. But God is looking on the heart. It's kind of like a man marries a woman and she follows the rules. I mean, she follows the household rules and keeps the house right. But she doesn't love him. She keeps the house spotless. She does everything spotless. But she doesn't love the man. She doesn't know the man. And she's out there thinking about other men or chasing other men. So she's really like doing the rituals, doing the cleaning, the washing of the clothes and cooking the meals and helping him get his clothes ready for work and all that. But he didn't marry her for that. He married her for love, you know. And the same with the woman, you know. The woman marries a man. She just wants to be loved. It's not about the sex. It's not about the gifts or the clothes he buys her or the house he built for her or whatever. It's about the love, you know. And so that's what this whole thing's about. And I'll post. I've already, just to confirm what I'm saying, I already knew it, and I didn't really need to confirm it, but I wanted to just Google AI and see what AI said. There's more to it, but the gist of the matter is God is looking for hearts towards him, and that's it. If your heart's right towards God, you're going to do right. You know, so if the woman loves the man, she's not going to cheat. She's not perfect. Let's say he comes home and the house ain't clean. She's going to say, you know, I didn't feel good today. I'm sorry. I just was sick. I'm going to lay down if you don't mind. And I'm sorry. And he says, don't worry about it. I'll clean it. I'll take care of everything. Or she said, the kids wore me out. I just don't feel like getting up right now to make you food. He said, I'll get up early and make the food and bring you breakfast in bed, you know, something like that. It's about the heart. She wants to help. She wants to be a helpmeet. They both are one. So they work together as a team, not because of duty. See, all that stuff in the Old Testament was doing your duty. It had to be done that way, though, because it had to be done a certain way because Jesus was coming on the scene, and Jesus is holy and set apart, so that everything had to be done until Jesus arrived on the scene. Now, we're under grace, not under law. And so, let's say there is a husband and wife. Sometimes he's sick and she goes to work and takes care of him. Sometimes she don't feel like cleaning the house. He vacuums the house. It's not a concrete thing. It's grace. It's about love. So when people really love each other, they go the extra mile for the other person. Both ways. It don't have to be set in stone. Oh, it's got to be this way because my mama did it, my grandmother did it, and the society is doing it, and everybody's doing it. No, it's love. If the man's out there mowing the yard, he's sweating, and his wife says, he needs some water. She takes him some water, a big glass of water with a bunch of ice, and she takes him the water and gives him the water, you know. And the man comes home and sees that her tires are low. He puts air in the tire because he don't want her to get in a wreck on the highway or while she's doing her chores, you know. And so this thing about queen bee, worship me, or this thing about the man is top G and stuff like that, it's about serving one another, really. It's about the heart. If the heart ain't in it, it ain't gonna work anyway. If the heart's not in it, it's not gonna work. If the heart is not in it, it'll never work. You can follow every rule under the sun, every rule in the book, and it'll never work. It's all about the heart. And the two people, this could be a business where it's a team. The team or the two people have to figure out where the happy medium is. And there's always going to be times when it's with a little bit of stress in there, but they sacrifice for the other one. And it's not even about comparing. You did for more for me than I did for more for you. That's not what this is about. I spent $10 and you only spent $5. That's not what this is about. This is sacrifice. Both parties. Each person has different gifts. The man knows how to go out there and change the oil, change the tires, fix the flat tire, put air in it, take the car, get it washed, get it clean, whatever. But the woman, she knows how to cook some food and do this or that, and she knows how to make it right. The house. She knows how to make things right, food-wise, house-wise, clothes. She knows how to fold the clothes, but he knows how to do other stuff. He knows how to get on the roof and clean the gutters and fix or repair the roof, fix a door, fix a window, fix a shelf, fix a washer or dryer. He can do it. He can do that kind of stuff. She can't. But she can do other stuff. It's sad, but in the 3D, there are times you have to do stuff in the 3D. 3D is actually a place of doing something, you know. But some people are lazy compared to somebody else. But that person is lazy is not lazy to compare to somebody else. So it's all about relative. Why you being so lazy? Well, I'm not really lazy. You're just a workaholic. What's his name next door? He don't do nothing. My point is, it's all relative, and it's not about who's doing more, not doing more, or doing this. It's about love and both people putting the same amount of effort in according to their ability. They have different gifts, spiritual gifts, physical gifts, mental gifts. Everybody's got different tolerances, all that stuff. There's a lot more to it than just rules and laws and roles and sacrifice. Who did more sacrifice? It's all about grace. So when he talked about the baptism, he talked about the circumcision, he talked about the sacrifices, he says he don't care about that. It was necessary to point to Jesus and what Jesus did, but it was more about your heart. He wants a circumcised heart. He wants you to sacrifice, if needed, for his glory down here. And he wants more of a spiritual baptism than anything. You must be born again. You have to have a spiritual baptism. John chapter 3 is talking about a spiritual baptism, not a water baptism. He told Nicodemus, he said, "You're such a teacher of Israel and you don't know these things?" He said, "Man is born of water and the Spirit. The water is the woman's water, born out, you know, from the woman. Her water breaks. But the spiritual birth is from above. It's unseen." He says, "The wind blows where it will, but you can't see it. But you know it's there." That's how the Spirit works. You know when somebody is Spirit-filled. You know when somebody's speaking truth. You know somebody who's saved. That's why the world persecutes the saved. Because the world is still under the Old Testament law. They're in the wrong dispensation. They're in the wrong dispensation. This is the age of grace. God is looking for hearts that are circumcised. God is looking for hearts that have been baptized by the Holy Spirit, receiving the Spirit. God is looking for hearts that are willing to sacrifice. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. That's the kind of love God's looking for. And I hate to say it, but that's the kind of love in a marriage should be, that you got each other's back and you're willing to forgive and hope the best, expect the best. If their character's good, you don't have to worry about it. You just know that they really mean well and their character's good. But if they're always trying to, if their heart ain't right, they're always trying to laugh or mock something that you're doing, they don't love you. They're just mocking you. The word mock, when somebody's mocking you, that's evil. A mocker mocking you is pure evil. We've all done it. Don't get me wrong. The saved people mocked the lost. Elijah mocked the false prophets. He was mocking them. Where's your God? They needed to be mocked in that case. But when the evil mocks the good, then we got a problem. And saved people have mocked, you know, some of the unsaved, they try to do good. And we might mock them because it's not of works, it's by faith alone, but we shouldn't mock them if they're trying to do right. It's faith alone and Jesus alone. But when somebody says, well, I'm doing good works, good job. I'm proud of you. I'm not going to mock you, but it's really faith. But keep going. One day it'll click that you can't do enough good works to be right before God. But to mock them, then they're trying. You know, that's wrong. I admit it. I have mocked them in the past. I apologize. Hi, Lanny.